Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, we just got talent all over the place. Aren't you glad that God just sends us people that has wind? Yeah, and be able to play the ivories and the drums. And is Robbie here? Robbie, you still? Yeah, you're still here. I see that you're still learning to play drums, aren't you? Yeah. I pick on Robbie a lot about the little drummer boy, but it is so good to be here today. I've already, I don't know about you, but I've already sensed the presence of God in a manifested way. Like I told you last week, I know he's here because I brought him. Well, did y'all bring him? Why? Okay, y'all can join me. So you brought him too. So, but it's a wonderful thing to be with God's people, experiencing the Holy Spirit in a way that is tangible, and in a way that we worship the Lord, and we get touched by Him, that we can take life as it comes and make it better. Take life as it comes and make it better. That's what Jesus does. He says, I ain't just come to give you life. I came to give you abundant life. Life in abundance. So we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit again, and about His presence. And we often try to understand that we think we need to make the effort. I've got to do better in order for His presence to be this and this and this. And but really, we'll learn today that it's not about your efforts. It's really more about your recognizing who He is and what He's capable of doing through you, and allow him to do the effort. And we just need to do the yielding. Amen. And that's a much better life to live in a Christian way. It really is. That's the way Christianity should be. Amen. So let's just say we welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place. Now, it could get messy. But we don't mind cleaning up the mess, right? Not that He makes a mess, but He'll do things that you'll scratch your head about, and me too. But that's okay. That's who He is. That's who He is. We try to box Him up in a certain way and make him a little bit more controllable. We try to, anyway. Church does. But we want to make sure that we let Him do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it. Because when we do that, we're following the awesomeness of God. Everybody say the awesomeness of God. See, a lot of Christians are not aware. And I said the other week that, you know, it's the Holy Spirit is like the forgotten God. It's almost like we talk about the Father, we talk about the Son, but we very seldom talk about the Holy Spirit. And He is the presence of God on this earth. You know, we are the church, and we host the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives, right? And by the way, if you're wondering about the pie in the face, I did volunteer John. I did volunteer Pastor John. I really did. You're gonna do it, aren't you? You're gonna do it, aren't you? Do what? I got a verse for that. The Holy Spirit will remind you. I'm messing with you. I really am. I'm messing with you. I do think, Russell, Pastor Russell, where are you? You're around yours. Yeah. We will make it whipped cream only. There's a lot of things got put in it last year that wasn't whipped cream. As a matter of fact, to be very open and honest, you want your pastor to be transparent with you, right? Open and transparent with you. I was one of them that put other stuff in it. I did ask for forgiveness. A few rocks. No, I didn't do rocks. I didn't do rocks. I want you to go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And just hold there just for a moment, but we're going to be talking about the person of the Holy Spirit again. But we talked last week, just to catch us up to date, that Jesus had emptied himself of the privilege that he had of being God and using all of his God qualities. He didn't lay God aside. He didn't lay himself being God aside. He laid the ability to do those things as God, he laid aside. He emptied himself of the ability to be able to do that, and he took on the form of mankind. Now, the very important thing about that is that if he hadn't have done that, me and you, you and I, would not have been able to walk as he walked on this earth as man. If he kept his ability to be able to function as God, then you and I don't have that ability. And the Bible says that he really... you know, needed the Holy Spirit. He went to John and said, I need to be baptized. You know, I want you to baptize me. And John baptized him. John was the baptizer of repentance. And Jesus didn't need baptism of repentance. He just needed baptism. But he led the way for you and I. He made it possible for an imperfect person like me to be able to follow him. Why? Because he was 100% man. 100% God, but he was 100% man. But when he was baptized, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit did what? Came down like a dove and landed upon him. Everybody say upon. John adds, Matthew adds, and remained. He didn't come and go. He remained. The Holy Spirit remained on him. So after his baptism, we wonder, say, well, why was that so important? You know, well, it was important for him to be able to function as 100% man under the influence and with having the Holy Spirit upon him, so he could function that way, because that's how we're going to function. It's so important that he modeled the very way that we need to live. Instead of him saying, I want you to be like me, but you're not God. You got it? He didn't say, I want you to be like me, but, you know, I'm God, but you can't be like me because you're not God. So Jesus didn't do that. Jesus came as 100% man. He's still 100% God, but he laid the ability to be able to function that way. He laid it aside, and then he was baptized. No miracles was done until he was baptized. None. You know, but we need to understand some of the things that, let's see, through this, I got a PowerPoint here. Yeah, we're on, I guess. Am I on? What's he supposed to do? Sing a song? Hold it down. Be patient. Long suffering. There you go. Here we go. So the person of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that he has life. Yes. He listens. That's the reason that he's a person. Matter of fact, Jesus related to him as he said, he shall come. He shall come. But anyway, he has life, he listens, he speaks, he feels, he thinks. All that's in the scriptures. He knows, he prays. Oh no, he dropped his candy. Somebody help that young'un. He prays, he has a will, and he has a mind. So I would say that he's a person. But a lot of times we do not relate to him as a person. We're not conscious of the fact that he is with us. Jesus went to the disciples. Do you know that the disciples were not born when they were born again? Not born again when they were following him. They weren't born again. But yet they were disciples. That'll blow your theology. They were disciples, and they weren't born again. We want to make sure everybody gets born again before they're discipled. Jesus discipled before they were born again. After his resurrection, he walked up to him in John 20, 22. He said, he blew. He said, and he said, this is what he said. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. This was after he was resurrected. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. And they breathed in the Holy Spirit. That's their birth. That's their new birth. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Then he went on to tell him, he said, now I want you to meet me. I want you to go to the upper room. A little bit later, he said, go to the upper room and wait. Wait for what? Did I know? The promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit. Listen, they've already got the Holy Spirit in them. Yes? They've already got the Holy Spirit in them. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Right? That's their birth. That's how you and I get born again, by the Spirit of God. It is by the Spirit. If you're not born again of the Spirit, you're not born again of God. So you're born again of the Spirit, and then he said, I want you to go and wait, you know, because the promise of the Father is coming, and it is what? The Holy Spirit. And he goes on and says, you shall be baptized. You shall be what? Baptized with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit shall come where? The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Already in you. Now he's going to be coming upon you for you to be able to do what? Be his witnesses. Now everybody thinks that witnesses means that you'll go out and give out tracts. Or you'll go out and try to get people born again. That's part of it, but that's not it in a whole, in a nutshell. It's not it. Because that word witness means martyr. Say, uh-oh. See, he will empower you to be his martyr. What does that mean? He'll give you life. He'll give you life to do whatever he wants you to do. He said, you will be my martyrs. You'll be the one that's willing to die. You can find a whole lot of people that's willing to live for him. Or can you find many? Can find a few that's not willing to die for him. But this is what this is about. But see, Jesus goes in and he gets baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and it's after that he does miracles, not before. Why? Because in order for him, to display the example of how we should live, he is the model. We need the Holy Spirit in us. And we need the Holy Spirit upon us. Now, there's all kind of theology problems with some people that don't believe in it. Well, you don't have to believe in it. You don't have to believe in the Bible at all. But it's in the Bible. The Bible says for us to be students and study the Word of God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the Word of God. What does that mean? You study it out and you understand that this is for this time and this is for this time and this is what this means and this means here. Rightly dividing the Word of God. So he gets baptized and the Holy Spirit's upon him. And let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 4. Did we finish this right here? Holy Spirit. No. Let me do that. Are you in Luke 4? We'll get there, I promise. We'll get there. Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will send you another. Jesus said, I got to go. It's very important that I go. It's very important for you. Matter of fact, it's very necessary that I go. So, because I will send, everybody say another. I will send another. Now, who was he referring to? Holy Spirit. I will send another. This word, another, he said, I'll send another helper. This word, another, means same as he. Different, but same as he. Same as he. I will send you another, but he's going to be just like me. But he'll be another. You got that? So he's not something or somebody that is going to be a lot different than Jesus. No, he's the same as Jesus, just different. He said he's going to be just like me. It's very important to know that. So we're talking about Jesus, our helper. The Bible also says this over in, where is that verse? He talks about, where is it? Here. It's here somewhere. I'll find it. I will find it. Holy Spirit given to you, and the Bible says it, he's given to you without measure. Everybody say, without measure. I really need to find that. So here it is, John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. We feel like, well, we can't do that. Yeah, you can. You have the Holy Spirit without measure. Not just without measure, that word also means without limitations. Without measure, without limitations. Well, I just don't really feel, I'm limited. No, without measure, without limitations. And not just that, without restrictions. The Holy Spirit is given to you without measure. Say, without measure, without limitations, and without restrictions. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Without measure, without limitations, without restrictions. You don't have just a little bit of him. Without measure, without limitations, without restriction. See, we're not conscious. We don't stay conscious of that. And we need to. We really need to stay conscious of the presence of God within us and the presence of God upon us. Because we face things that we can't handle in our own ability, in our own power, in our own intellect. We face things that we cannot handle. Right? How many of you are facing something right now that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you can't handle it? See, it's all over the congregation. But guess who can? The Holy Spirit. He's the one that does the impossibles. Right? He's the one that can take whatever it is that we're going through. And I like the thing about we go through the things. We don't pitch a tent and just begin to stay. Yea, though I walk through. Yea, I dwell in the valley of the shadow of death. No, don't dwell. I'm going through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What's the statement? I will fear no evil. And there's a reason why. For thou art with me. What is he conscious of? He's conscious of the death. He's conscious of the shadow. He's conscious of the valley. He's conscious of all of that. But he's not conscious of that and say, oh me, oh my. What am I going to do? What else is he conscious of? See, it's not, you know, recognize the Holy Spirit in you and upon you is not that you're in denial about other things. He didn't say deny that. You can acknowledge that. That's the reason Isaiah said, you know, there's going to be darkness, yea, gross darkness. But before he ever talked about darkness, we said that last week, before we ever talked about darkness, he talked about arise and shine. What was he conscious of? The light. What's David conscious of? He's conscious of the Lord's a shepherd. And he's going to go through the real battles. But he says, what? I will not fear. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why? He's conscious of the Holy Spirit. He's conscious of the presence of God. All right, so we look at that. So he's given to us without measure, without limitations, without restrictions. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to be upon him. And then let's go to Luke. Here we are. Here we are. Finally got there. And Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, see, I can't read but just so much of it. I got a whole chapter to read, but it's almost like I can't just read the whole chapter and then go back. And Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, this word full means it's different than when he says for the followers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word filled and that word full, not the same word. So what's the difference? Well, this word full, Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, you would think that it was poured into him, but that's not that word. That's what we think when we hear the word full. That word means to be covered over. There's that upon again. Jesus was covered over, completely covered over by the Holy Spirit. That's what that word is. That's what that word means. Now, you go home and get your concordance out and you make sure I'm pastor telling you the truth. You know, it's okay to do that. It's just fine to do that. So he says, and Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He was covered over because the Holy Spirit came upon him. So he was completely covered over with the Holy Spirit. I find that very interesting, don't you? And then you look at that thing about the Holy Spirit coming upon the believers. Guess what that is? Full. Covered over. Isn't that powerful? Covered over. Why? Why? He's already in me. Bill Johnson says it this way. He's in me for me, and he's upon me for others. To be able to do the works of God, you know, to be able to do miracles. So that he said, when you, the Bible says that when you shall receive power after when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that word power means is dunamis, which means we get the word dynamite. Yeah. Now I like this word that he gave, that the Lord gave Lee, but cannons are already set. Boom, boom. I mean, it's like, man alive. That's the thunder of God. I like that kind of stuff. Why? Preparing the atmosphere for two of his kids to go answer the call and step into an unknown land and to step into things that they don't even know where they're going, don't know who they're going to run into, don't know what all it is, but all of a sudden, boom, boom, that's going to sound real good on the tape now. It really is. But you got to get all this thunderous stuff going on. Why? Because God said, I'm preparing a way for you. Well, that's good stuff. But you know, it's not just for them. It's for every one of you, and it's for all of us. So where God wants to take us, you know, because discipleship and making disciples does not mean that we have to go to foreign countries to do it. Well, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just waiting on Jesus to come back. No, he said, go out and make disciples. Go ye therefore. Right? Go ye therefore and what? Did he say make converts? Didn't say make converts. What did Jesus do when he was with the disciples? He was teaching them. He was discipling them. He was making them disciples. What was he doing? How was he discipling? He was teaching them the ways of God. And he tells us, go ye therefore and make disciples. Teaching them all the things that I've told you, teaching them to what? What's the word? Observe. Teaching them to observe. It's what Jesus did to the disciples. You know, you can be around people. You can be around people and just share life with them, and all of a sudden you should begin to share your life and begin to tell them the goodness of God, and you know, and what God's done for you. You know, you don't have to first walk up to them and say, "Are you saved? Are you born again?" It's hard to get anybody in this county to say no. I'm telling you the truth. I really am. I'm telling you, it's hard. I mean, I know how many of you noticed the girl last week on the video. She was sitting there. She was talking about the Hands of Hope ministry and all. And she said, I knew nothing about God. Do y'all remember hearing her say that? I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything. Living in this county, you know what that did to me? I previewed it before we showed it here, but you know what that did when I was watching it at home? And you know what that did for me? I said, God, there's still a lot of people that don't know you in this community, even though they say they do. They don't know you. They don't know you. I honestly believe there's coming a day when the realization that they're not born again and they don't know him, and it's going to give us a wonderful opportunity to be able to share life with them. But see, you can disciple them before that day ever happens. No, but if we have this doctrine that we have to get them born again. Now listen, don't leave here saying I'm against being born again. I'm not. Everybody should be born again. But the thing is, you know, so we can, you know, I used to be as religious as a day is long. I mean, we'd go out soul winning on a certain night and we'd be notching our guns when we got back. So how many did you get? I got five. How many did you get? I got four. You know, and we, listen, I'll, listen, knock on the door. Do you want to get saved? I don't know, I guess. I mean, it's like, you know, and we notch. Why? It was notches. It was count. It was pride. It was all of that. You know, didn't go back and say, hey, do you want to be a follower of Jesus? I'll teach you how to follow Jesus. No, he said make disciples. Jesus made disciples and then he made converts. That's just some thinking that you probably need to do. Meditating on that, because it will mess you, it'll mess with your theology. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. He is covered up, covered over by the Holy Spirit. And what happened next? He was led. Everybody say he was led by the Spirit to a very refreshing place. Nope. He was led by the Spirit where? In the wilderness. 40 days being tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when that had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, then tell this stone to become bread. Okay, let's think about this. Great things happened. I just got born again. I'm not talking about Jesus right now, but I just got born again. Wow, man, this is just great. Wow, I can see I'm born. I used to live my life in darkness, and now I live my life in light. Everything is just great. And then the next thing you know, the next day you go where? You're met with opposition, and you're met with something that doesn't go your way. See, the Holy Spirit will, listen, the Holy Spirit will lead you there. The Holy Spirit led him. Oh, man, I got thinking about that. I said, led him into the wilderness. And he's going to be tested by the devil. Wait a minute. Wait up. I don't like this testing stuff. I didn't do good on tests in school. I don't like this testing stuff. Why don't, you know, just let me sit over here in this cloud with the other angels and just let me play harps and stuff like that. No, you're going to send me to be tested. Led him to be tested. And he said, and here's the test. Here's the test. If you are. That's the test, if you are. He didn't go up to Jesus and say, I know you're hungry. Turn these stones to bread. You can eat. Turn these stones to bread. He didn't do that. He said, if you are. What was thundered out of the heavens? The voice of the Father saying what? By the way, you remember us talking about that? That wasn't just a little, hey, y'all, this is my son. The word opened, the word heavens opened is the same word as the veil was rent. It was torn. It thundered. The heavens opened up in a thunderous thing. I love that thunder stuff, man. I really do. Thundered and thundered out. This is my beloved son in whom? In what? In whom? In whom I am well pleased. John heard it. A lot of people heard it. So did the devil. The devil's not all-knowing. He has to be told stuff. And we tell him way too much. That's the truth. We give him a lot of material to write our life. Are y'all hearing me? Yeah. We need to stop, you know, because he's not all-knowing. And we start agreeing with the darkness, and he says, oh, I got it. But that's another point we can rattle in on. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased. He hasn't done the first miracle. But he didn't say, I'm pleased in what he's done. Nope. I am well pleased in who he is. I am well pleased in who he is. Father is well pleased in who you are if you're born again. well pleased in who you are. Man, it's 12 o'clock. And all is well. This thing, if I don't do this right here, I'll have to bring that back next Sunday. So I better just go ahead and do this. Jesus was full. Everybody say full. In other words, the Holy Spirit had him covered. Oh, that's beautiful. Paul says, don't be drunk. By the way, it says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled. Everybody say, be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. We can get drunk, but you can't, listen to this, you can't get filled with the Spirit. I dare you to try to fill your own self up with the Spirit. Dare you to. Not going to happen. You know why I know? Because in the Greek, when it says be filled, it means that the subject, you and I, are being acted upon by something outside of ourselves or someone outside of ourselves. You got it? That's the reason he said, that's the reason Peter, when he said, I am holy, then be holy. You be holy. Have anybody ever tried to be holy? Be honest with me. Raise your hand just a little bit. You tried to be holy? Well, how did that work? Why? Because you can't make yourself be holy. You can't make yourself be filled with Spirit. I'm going to be filled with Spirit. If it kills me, I'm going to be filled with Spirit today. Lord, I'm going to be filled with Spirit today. I'm going to read 29. I'm going to read 29 chapters. I'm going to be filled with Spirit. I'm going to be filled. Nope. It is the subject that has been acted upon by an outside source. The reason you're holy is because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, made you holy because he gave you what? God's holiness. Try to be righteous. Ain't gonna happen. But you are righteous. How do I know? Because the Bible says that I am the righteousness of God. How did you get there? An outside person made you that way. I'm going somewhere. So I like that, don't you? So what about this thing about be filled? Well, number one, it's the passive thing again, the passive Greek that says it's an outside source operating on the subject. And we're the subjects. So who is going to do the filling? Who is going to be doing the filling? The Holy Spirit. Well, how is that going to happen? See, most of us think that it operates this way. That, okay, we're going to get filled with the Spirit, and we sense the Holy Spirit in our lives. And can y'all see that? Can everybody see that? You know, if you do that thing enough, there'll be a little dome at the top. Now, we think we have the Holy Spirit and we are now filled with a... Is this glass full? Yes, this glass is full. But listen, when the Bible says be filled, we would think it would look like that. If the water is the Holy Spirit, man, I'm just full of the Holy Spirit. Sounds right. But it's not according to the Bible. Sounds right. Sounds good. And we say, well, is the glass half full or is it half empty? How you look at it, stuff like that. And we look at that and say, well, that's full. That is not the biblical definition of being filled. This is the biblical definition of being filled with the Spirit. This is. It's a lot different than just being full. This is what the biblical definition is. I'm telling you the truth. Be you constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just a constant. Well, we think, well, I've poured out a lot this week, so I need to go let God listen to me now. I need to go let the Holy Spirit fill me. That's not the biblical definition of be filled with the Spirit. This is a constant recognition that I'm being poured into by the Holy Spirit. Constantly being poured into by, you can't fill yourself. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit today. I'm going to pray 4 hours. I'm going to read all day. Or I'm just going to be filled with the, I'm going to be filled. Then somebody crosses in front of you. Somebody takes your parking place. Or on Black Friday, they get that last 65-inch TV. Or somebody said something to you at church that you just didn't like. Do you know what takes care of that? This right here. That's what takes care of that. What don't take care of that, I got the Holy Spirit in me, and we think we just use him, and then we like this, and then we get like that, and then somebody says something to you at church, oh, I'll tell you one thing, you won't ever talk to me like that again. Well, let me tell you, you said that to me, and I've been here 30 years. Guess what's not happening? There's not a filling over of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you tried to do it yourself and now you're empty. Why? You haven't yielded. Listen to this. Jesus yielded to the Holy Spirit coming upon him. He yielded himself to that. You and I need to yield to the Holy Spirit as he continuously pours into our life his presence. That's the being filled. It's not this, okay, I'm empty, Lord. No, you're not empty. You know, you tried to do it out of your own energy. That's the reason when something happens, if you're constantly being filled with him, running over, and by the way, and it will cover over you. That's the reason when in relationships somebody says something or does something, especially in marriage. Ooh, did I go there? Or especially in any other relationship, you got a relationship and all of a sudden things are not going right, and well, I'm not going to put up with it. You ever been there? I'll not put up with that. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say that halfway up to Calvary? I'm not putting up with how they treating me. It's not right. I don't deserve it. Aren't you glad he didn't say that? Be you constantly being filled, constant understanding that the Holy Spirit is filling your life. Constantly, just overflowing. David said it this way, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. Have you ever been running about half full as a Christian? Maybe about three quarters full. Maybe a drop. Maybe a drop. And you're trying to face all this stuff, you know, and there's nothing going on. Why? You're yielding to your ability. Are trying to yield in his ability, but you got news for God. You want to do it this way. I know you said do this. I'm not going to do it that way, but you're going to have to help me do it this way. Now, he doesn't empower that. Consciousness of the Holy Spirit constantly filling me, constantly being filled. Why? This word here is to be adequately equipped. To be adequately equipped. He's constantly filling you to be adequately equipped. Adequately equipped for what? Whatever faces you. Holy Spirit. Jesus goes on in that one passage, and I want to finish this and we'll close, but this whole thing about who you are. The Holy Spirit will help you understand your identity. I think it's some of the things we said, help you understand your identity when you know who you are, and you need to know who you are by what God said about you. God said, Father said, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Devil said, if you are. See, the whole testing is about if you are. The devil will whisper in your ear and say, well, you're not even born again. Look what you just got through doing. Well, what did Jesus say? What did Father say about you? You're my son. I'm well pleased in who you are. He might not be happy with what you did, but he's well pleased with who you are. That way it keeps us away from working to be who we are. He made us who we are. He made us holy. He made us pure. He made us, that's all of inside us. We are all of that. But our soul needs evangelism. Our soul needs to be trained and taught and conformed so that we will talk, so that we will walk, so that we will say, so that we will think, and so we will decide the things of God. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit being constantly flow. You know why I know it's a constant flow? You know why? The Bible answers all that stuff. Jesus says this. He said, if you believe me, out of you shall come what? Rivers of living water, right? Out of you shall come rivers of living water if you believe in me. And the Bible says, and this he spoke of the Holy Spirit when he said this. Now, here's what you and I need to understand. It's a river, not a lake. I'm busy. It's a river, not a lake. It's a river that what? Constantly flows. There it is again. It's a constant flow. It's a constant running, constant flow of the Holy Spirit. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Not just one. I mean multiple veins of who the Holy Spirit is begins to flow out of you if you're conscious of it. Jesus looked at him and said, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. That's what he said. It is written. It is written. Not going to change. Not going to change. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. And then I think John, Mark 1 adds this. He said, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Word. That word there is rhema. Man shall not live by bread alone. He didn't say don't eat bread. He said you can't live on bread alone. Your life is more than what you eat. Man shall not live by bread alone. He said, if you are, turn it. Go ahead. I know you're hungry. You haven't eaten in 40 days. Go ahead and turn it. Go ahead and do it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema, every breathed word, every word that is constantly. That word proceedeth means a constant speaking. The rhema of God. But he had to decide, am I going to believe what God said about me? Am I going to believe that I am well pleased, that he is well pleased in who I am? That's mine and your dilemma. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what God said about you. The Holy Spirit will also remind you to believe it. Because there's everybody out here wants to call you something else. Wants to say something that you're this and you're that and you're that. No, who you are is who he made you to be. If we lose that battle, we've lost all the others. If we cannot stand on who he said we are and believe who we are and what he said about us, then we've lost all the others. Because we'll be trying to fight it with works to be able to get there. And he said, nope, I've already done this for you. Because you received my spirit, because you were born again, because you received me, I've made you righteous, I've made you holy, and I'm filling you. You just have to yield to it. Isn't that good? Are you ready to go get, you're ready just to go get, I'll tell you what, just ride around in the Walmart parking lot and wait for another spot to come and let somebody zoom in and get out and say, God bless you. I love you. It don't work that way, does it? No, it's in that moment where tension is high and you're in a hurry and all this stuff's going on. He said, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm constantly flowing in you and constantly flowing out of you. Isn't it good? Amen? We got to go. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, the richness of who you are, your spirit. God, teach us to yield. Teach us to yield. Holy Spirit, teach us to yield. That no matter where we go, we will be operating in the fullness of who you are, no matter how we're treated. Lord, that's the reason you've told us that we will be able to love our enemies, is because of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Bless this congregation. Lord, let the word of God go into them richly. Lord, may we all respond how we need to respond to your spirit, your word, that we will leave this place stronger in you, knowing who we are and who you are and what we're to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.